this.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
So I'll probably hate it.
Hour 2, Agenda Free Friday. The 3 p.m. hour here of the program brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Find everything you love for your Labor Day cookout at Stop and Shop. Get details at stopandshop.com. It's Maz in the Maz chair, Felger in the A-hole chair, Tim McCone, who Maz has dubbed McBone, is in our update studio. You got a take on the Patriots roster. What is it?
Yeah, well, I was just looking at it after they redid Gronk's deal, who was going to be next for the Patriots in line in terms of getting their next big contract out of the organization. And you look at who's left on this team, and in terms of impact players that need to get done, there really aren't as many impact guys left on this roster that you're used to.
Well, let me just stop you. Again, let me help you punch it out. Who do you want to pay?
Go ahead. I know he's got a name. Go. I don't want to jump on you.
There's only one that I can think of.
Flowers.
Trey Flowers.
That's the guy. I mean, other than that, there's really no one left that's homegrown that you would want to extend for big money.
It's like, so who's next in line? You say, well, no, I don't want to pay any of these guys. Maybe Flowers.
It's such a great point. They don't have the players. They don't have the players. And in fact, if they don't pay Flowers after having paid Mason, I'll be pissed. Like, you chose that one over this one?
So Mason was another one. They paid him. So to be fair, there were two, but it still feels like there's no one even in line, McCone.
No, there's not. And if you go back to the Super Bowl teams, 2014 and 2016, you're talking about top-end talent. I mean, that 2014 roster is absolutely loaded.
Underrated.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think people realize how really loaded that team was.
Top to bottom. And then 2016 was the same thing. Offensively, you lose Gronkowski and the offense still doesn't miss a beat. You look at what they're coming to this year and with some of the guys on that roster, if you lose like Edelman or Gronk, you're screwed.
Well,
you don't have the guys on defense or offense.
So McCone broke it down like this. How many impact players do they have on the team? How many impact players?
Okay, let's go through it.
Okay, name them.
Brady.
Well, one.
Gronk.
Yep.
Edelman.
Yep.
Do you count McCourty and Hightower?
Do you?
I mean, I think those guys are good.
Impact players.
Hightower, yes.
Okay.
McCourty is, closer to no, but I would still say yes. After the... I'm not convinced on Gilmore.
I was going to say Gilmore.
I'm not convinced yet.
Okay.
I'm not. I mean, again, now you might be, so you can put him on the list if you want. I would tell you he's great. You don't sound convinced on McCourty. So I'll trade you McCourty for.
Yeah. See, I mean, I think McCourty is just, he's not an impact player. Look at his ball stats, and it's not just about stats, but he doesn't take the ball away enough. It's like, he's a good center fielder and he'll set the defense. But I think he's just like a really good role piece.
Okay, then take him out.
I don't think he's an impact piece.
Okay, so take him out.
I think Gilmore is a good left corner. I got to give it to him.
Okay, so fine. I'll swap you one for the other, but not both.
Gilmore was an impact player by the end. Yeah. I'll put it to you like that.
Okay, what about Hightower?
I'll give it to you.
He makes big plays, though, when he's out there.
Is James White an impact player?
No.
Yes.
You think he is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I don't.
I think he's a weapon.
With Brady? Absolutely, I think he is.
White is. Yeah, White is. Is Hogan?
No. No, okay. Absolutely not.
Take him off McBone's list.
God, no. Not
sorry,
Hogan? McBone.
Okay, so hold on. This is McBone's list. Brady, James White, Hogan, Edelman, Gronk, Shaq Mason, Hightower, Gilmore, McCourty, Claiborne, Cannon, Flowers.
Way too many.
Way too many, McBone.
Holy crap, it's a good thing you're not running the organization.
Okay, so White, you're wrong about White, Maz. He's a weapon.
I'm not giving you Mason either.
Okay, you don't have to. No guard is an impact player. I'm sorry, Bedard. You can't be an impact player at guard.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
It's a wonder you don't have Adam Butler on there, for crying out loud.
Mason's out. I think McCourty is just such a tweener. Claiborne?
No. No. No, not yet. No.
You're projecting, McBone.
I was. That was a bit of a stretch there with Claiborne. I'll give you that.
Marcus Cannon?
No.
He was an all pro when he was healthy.
Oh, big deal. No. Impact. No. No one Cannon. I give you no one. You guys are too easy.
Hold on. I didn't give him Cannon. And I'm not giving him Claiborne. Projection. Mason? I'm not giving you the guard. I don't care. Look at freaking John Hanna.
You got Tooney on there too, McBone?
He just missed.
So no on Hogan too, because I think he's a good complimentary receiver, but not a primary piece. White is. But so when you look at our consensus, impact players, White, Edelman, Gronk, Hightower, Gilmore, Flowers, Brady.
Seven.
How many don't have some sort of major injury concern next to him as well?
Oh, well, Hightower does.
Gronk does.
Gronk absolutely does. Edelman does.
Edelman does. Yeah. So when you talk about guys who are just sort of free and clear, not an injury consideration, and consensus impact guy, you're talking like three guys. You're talking like Brady, Flowers, White, Gilmore, if you include him. I mean, the rest, either we're debating whether they're an impact player or they got major injury concerns, and you know they're not going to get through the year.
Yeah, there's been a talent drain, really, is what you're getting down to. And to me, I still think it comes back to the defensive side of the ball, because you had all those, like McCone, you started this by asking the question, who's the next guy to pay? Do you remember one time they had Hightower, Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Malcolm Butler? Like, you looked at all those guys and say they're not going to pay them all.
Remember when the problem was how they're going to pay all these guys? And, of course, in true Patriots fashion, they ended up paying none of them.
But that's why you had to let Revis go.
Except for Hightower.
They paid Hightower.
We can't pay Revis because we have to pay Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, and Dante Hightower. Well, you got one out of the three. Right? Like, yeah, that always happens. Well, we can't pay Welker because we got to do this, and then they don't even do that. That's, like, a common one. We got to give the long snapper some extra money. But it's just a good way to look at it. Like, okay, so they took care of Brady. They took care of Gronk. They took care of Mason. Who's next? Really nobody. After you get past Flowers, if he's even, you know, I mean, I think we've, because Flowers is the only good young player on the team.
We've overrated him.
We start to, you know, treat him like a little bit more than what he really is. Yeah, nice young piece, and he's got some good burst, and I like him.
Prettiest person in an ugly bar.
Holy moly. I mean, we're not talking about Andre Tippett here. Like, this isn't, who are we talking about? He just, what did you just say?
The prettiest person in an ugly bar.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right. It's kind of scary, McBone. So just circling back, you're worried about the talent on this team too.
Yeah, I am. If you go back and look at 2014 and 2016, the upper echelon talent you had, you could kind of survive a big-time injury to one of your top players. You look at the roster now, not only are there injury concerns with the top talent, but if one of them goes down, I think you're screwed.
So what happened to that whole Patriot depth thing?
I don't know. Like, the quarterback's a bargain. The tight end is still a bargain, relatively speaking, even after yesterday. Edelman's a bargain. Their highest-paid players are still bargains. So I keep asking, like, where'd the money go? Well, why do they have cap considerations? I don't get it. Again, because you pay Brandon Bolden $500,000 more than you should, and Joe Cardona a couple hundred. And I keep saying Cardona. I don't even know if they've given him more money or not. I just would assume they will, because I just – in fairness, I'm just projecting on that one.
Fits a profile.
But you know Bill's dying to give him a few extra bucks.
And Navy guy.
Overpay him at his position. So is it like because they got a bunch of high-priced gunners? Is that where all the money's gone? Like, I don't even get where the money's gone. Where's the other high-end talent?
You got me. I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think it's wrong to say there's been a talent drain, particularly on defense. And when you look at it and you say all those guys went, and how did they replace them? Van Noy? Like, now, Claiborne, I want to see. But they, you know, I don't even know what, I can't remember off the top of my head what Claiborne's contract was. But they had to go out in the market and pay for a free agent to do it, right? It's not like they drafted it. So, you know, to me, it just feels like they let all these guys go and they never really replaced them.
I think, you know, this year they're fine. And they'll contend and whatnot. In the future, man, you got to look at it and go, you know, what's coming down the pike here? Claiborne's got a $4 million hit this year. He signed a $2 million signing bonus, making $1.3 in real money. I'm sorry, he's making $3 in real money this year. I'm sorry, he's making $4 in real money this year. So $4 million for Adrian Claiborne. Player they need, by the way. And might be good. Like, he looks pretty decent in the preseason.
No, I thought he was one of the brighter spots of the preseason. I thought he's been pretty good.
Okay, so we've been yammering enough, I promise. Right to your phones here on Agenda Free Friday, right after these words.
Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was really proud of our team tonight. These guys played hard. I was told John Mara before the game that we were on the sideline talking. I said, you know, your dad would be just to take him back, because I think we played 37 guys, 36 guys, whatever it was, when roster sizes were that small. So these guys really did a good job. They went out and they not only played offense, defense, played all the kicking game, and it was a good warm night. So they thought they showed up well. I think I learned a lot about, we'll see how it goes on the film, but I think I learned a lot about these guys, and Like I said, I was proud of the way they competed. And Giants did, too. It was really, a good competitive game. And so I think we learned a lot. We'll see.
Meanwhile, Bill loves the bottom of his roster. Loves it. I don't expect you to have watched this. Why would you? But Bill's post-game press conference,
I didn't see it.
Have it on this morning and on the replay. He was beaming. He was beaming. Beaming. That smirk, that grin that he just couldn't contain. He started off by, he started off his opening statement by saying the Danny Etling play was the most exciting preseason play he's ever seen. And then he launches into that about how proud he was of the guys and how much he learned. And we're showing it on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast there. He was just, you could just tell he was so proud and happy. And I'm like, this is what gets you off. That's what gets you off. Like, forget about your Hall of Fame superstar players and all that. But, the guys who are going to be working at the Jiffy Lube next week gave you a good night of football. I guess. I don't know. I thought that thing was like sticking forks in my eyes.
Oh, God, it was brutal to watch.
Painful.
Brutal to watch.
But somehow Bill loved it. We're showing you the video. He's just beaming. Like, he exuded this happiness. Meanwhile, he's blown the last 10 second round picks that he's made. There's no one left to pay because of tail. But the scrubs played hard for him. And he's like all excited. Oh, like I just, the things that get this, that make this guy happy.
These are the guys that
we learned a lot.
Really love football.
We learned a lot. We learned a lot.
About who?
That the dudes that are going to be working at the Qdoba next week will play hard for him in the fourth preseason game. I mean, what are we talking about? What do we learn? Did we learn if any one of these guys could play?
Nope. Well, actually, we did. We know that they can't.
I just saw it. It was just so odd. He was so happy. And, because again.
He loves those little grunge guys at the bottom who love the game and play for the love of the sport. You know why? Because none of them care if they make money. They just want to be in the league.
And they'll do whatever he says. But just the whole thing, when rosters were 38, like that, he just gets off on that. Like your dad and my dad, when we play the two-way guys and special teams, and there are 38 roster guys, and he just loves it. Loves it. Anyway, I noticed that. To your phones, I promised. Here's Charlie and Lynn. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, I'm trying to figure out what Belichick actually does. He can't draft. He doesn't have to worry about the offense. Brady and Josh have that. What does he do? His defense is terrible the last 3 years, and I'm trying to figure out what happened.
So, Charlie, your point's a little strong, and thank you for the call. But if you want to be douchey about it, Adam Jones would do this. He hasn't drafted well, and it's just what the caller said. The offense is up to Brady and Josh. He does the draft, which has kind of sucked. And so you say he's in charge of defense? That thing has sucked now for years.
Right, and even in in-game coaching, he toasted the Super Bowl. Like, he took that one and held it over an open flame, for crying out loud.
I mean, I don't believe that, but if you wanted to shape it that way, I guess you could.
Yeah, so look, again, let's not go too far with it. It's not like the guy is completely inept. We're not talking about Dick McPherson coaching the Patriots and running the operation here, for crying out loud. But to me, the big one's the talent drain. That's where I get frustrated.
Well, and what would frustrate me is not, whiffing on Jordan Richards, in a vacuum, or Cyrus Jones in a vacuum. I guess it happens. But you did draft Jamie Collins in the second round, and you really... You don't have anything to show for. Was it Rivers or was it... We determined whether... Was it Rivers or was it...
It was actually part of the Cooks trade. So they sent that third-round pick to the Saints with that first-round pick for Cooks.
I'm not giving you credit for a first-round pick return for Jamie Collins. It doesn't work that way. But... So, I guess they kind of got something for him. He's part of it. Jimmy Garoppolo, they didn't get enough for. So, that would sort of be my frustration. Shane Vereen just left as a free agent. Got nothing in return. So, it's like... On the ones you did hit on, have you gotten the proper return? Mike in Florida, waiting patiently to talk Bruins on an agenda-free Friday. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I got a question for you.
Do it.
Yeah, why are you so negative all the time? Because the people on NHL Sirius Radio, the real hockey experts in Toronto, they picked the Bruins to beat out Tampa Bay and win the division this year. You just don't have the faith in the depth and the youth in this team because you can't see it because they're too young for you. Is that it? Maybe you're just too dumb. And Tyler Seguin is definitely a nice pickup on July 1st, 2019 for the future of this team. Have a great day.
Okay, that's an angry Bruins fan right there, man.
Good call, though.
Oh, yeah, no, excellent. Yeah, Fulm was average.
He got right to the point.
No, he sure did.
Had a little wordplay in there.
Strong take. You're right. I don't have faith in the team. I don't. I don't have faith in them being better than Tampa. I don't. I mean, Tampa's had a little sort of a one-year-on, one-year-off kind of thing a lot recently. Although I think they made two straight conference finals. If I'm mistaken about that, I might be. I'm not. I think they've made the conference final two straight years. If you want to take the Bruins over Tampa, good luck and good night. And I can't help you with the folks on Sirius. I do not have the Bruins beating out Tampa. Tampa's, I think, a far superior team. But you want to tell me I'm negative on the Bruins because I don't have faith? I don't. Dave in Plymouth also has a Bruins take. Go ahead, Dave.
Too dumb.
So, along the lines of trades, earlier this summer, somebody from The Athletic, this was the Columbus version of The Athletic, was basically throwing out there that they didn't think the Blue Jackets were going to re-sign Panarin. And the reason being that Panarin wants more of a Russian community, i.e., a blonde Russian community that he can... No, I'm not kidding.
He doesn't like the women in Columbus?
Yeah. He basically said he doesn't want to re-sign in Columbus because he has no faith that he'll be able to start a family, that he'll meet somebody and no, I'm not kidding.
Well, Dave, I'm sorry. All due respect to our hometown. Is Boston the place?
Nope.
I mean, if he likes...
No. Tony, you're wrong. You're wrong, and here's why. The BU women's tennis team, I'm dead serious about this. I'm not making a joke. The BU women's tennis team, they go over and recruit in Russia. They go over and they get these girls.
So he wants to come here for the BU women's hockey team because they recruit Russians.
Tennis.
Well, because if he wants a Russian, if he's not using this as, you know, a negotiating ploy, sure. He's really saying, look, you know.
I got you, Dave. I'm just going to cut you off. If he's in the market for overweight sixes, I think Boston's the place for him. With bad attitudes. Heavy set sixes in Andy Moog jerseys who actually think they're hot and give you the attitude that's corresponding to it, then this is the place for him. This is the place for him. Chubby sixes with attitude is where we are the ground zero for that, the epicenter for that. Come to Boston for the women. When's the last time you ever heard anyone say that?
I'd give them 6.5.
What are you kidding me? Overweight sixes who think they're hot and give you attitude. That's Boston.
Apparently, I got to get to the BU tennis match.
Why do you think Sagan's out of here? Speaking of which, Christopher in Boston. Go ahead, Chris. Chris, are you there? Okay, he said he doesn't want Tyler Seguin. I don't either. I don't trust that guy. And again, if... the women can't be good enough for him here. Jacob in the car. Go ahead.
Hey, so I just want to call in on Tyler Seguin as well. First of all, I'd love to have him here in Boston. I think under Cassidy, he'd thrive. But I don't know if any of you guys saw that Behind the Bee show when he was shipped out of town.
Oh, yeah, they ripped the heck out of him. Yes.
Yeah. So does anyone really think he's going to come sit in a room with Cam Neely after he trashed on him about person as a player? I think there's no shot he'll ever sit down. So I think we can just dismiss him coming here.
Well, I mean, that's a fair point. Is there too much water under the bridge there? But between both those sides, could Cam Neely could Cam Neely suck it up and admit the mistake? Could Tyler Seguin stand to look at these guys in the face after they, you know, really threw him under the bus on the way out the door?
See, I got to believe that the Bruins wouldn't bring him back, and I never even considered it from the Seguin side. But there's no way after what, you know, the type of slinging that went around there at that time. If you were him, would you come back?
Probably not. But if it's the best offer on the table with the best chance on the ice, I think a lot of people forgive a lot of things when it's the most money on the table and the most chance for success on the ice.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I think
Carl makes a good point. Like, it would be interesting to see Seguin with Cassidy with the way they play now. It's a different coach and different mindset. And never mind the style on the ice, a coach that's a little more forgiving of a guy that won't get back in the corners and all that. I mean, I think I'd be interested to see what that looks like.
You know, I wonder too how Sweeney feels about it. Because remember when he took the job,
he wasn't in that episode.
I mean, he didn't sound like a guy that who was in favor of that Sagan deal. And a guy who says you got to be patient with young players and you got to work with them and we're tired of sprinkling talent all around the league and all of that. I don't know. Maybe Sweeney'd be inclined to bring him back.
Well, so the whole genesis of that is Ty Anderson on our website said you went after Tavares and struck out. So if you're going after Tavares, why not Sagan? He's up after this year in Dallas. They're having a hard time re-signing him. He might be on the way out the door. So if you're willing to go do that for Tavares, why not Sagan? That's sort of the jumping off point. One of the things we're hitting on here on Agenda Free Friday, also hitting on a Patriots trade that was swung this afternoon. Details here with McBone, and then we're right back.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, about that Patriots trade, they have dealt safety Jordan Richards to the Falcons for a conditional 2020 seventh round draft pick. The Rams, meanwhile, they've agreed to a record six-year, $135 million deal with defensive lineman Aaron Donald. Contract includes $87 million guaranteed. It is the richest defensive deal in NFL history. Interesting tweet from Pro Football Talk this afternoon. Florio says, this isn't a report or a prediction, but don't be shocked if Khalil Mack gets traded this weekend now that the market for a top-end defensive player has been set. And the Texans have waived third-year wide receiver Braxton Miller and cut punter Shane Lechler. Red Sox taking on the White Sox tonight. Nathan Eovaldi gets a start for Boston. First pitch is at 8:10. Round one of the Dell Technologies Championship over at TPC Boston. We have a three-way tie atop the leaderboard between Keegan Bradley, Chris Kirk, and Bo Hostler, who all finished at 4-under. Tiger Woods finishing the day 1-over. And in the NBA, the Rockets have sent Ryan Anderson and De'Anthony Melton to the Suns for Marquise Chris and Brandon Knight. Sports Hub Headlines, driven by Acura Peabody Summer of Performance Sales event. Get a new 2018 Acura MRDX all-wheel drive luxury crossover for just $33.5 a month for 36 months. AcuraPeabody.com. I'm Tim McCona, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes. Birds.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
It's Agenda Free Friday. Everything on the table from the week. Anything we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it's all up to you. Caller set the agenda. Maz is in the Maz chair. We have Tim McCone in the update studio. A couple Red Sox thoughts here. Ian in the car. What do you got on the Sox, Ian?
Yo, so basically, I'm a diehard Sox fan, but I ended up in L.A. for a Dodgers-Padres game on Sunday, and I think it was totally embarrassing that they gave their pitcher a standing ovation after he had 11 hits. And I just want to thank everybody in Red Sox Nation for keeping it real and booing pitchers when they deserve. Screw David Price.
Okay. Do Sox fans still boo pitchers when they come off the mound?
Well, Matt Barnes got booed the other night.
He did.
Yeah, he did. And so, you know, to a degree, yes. Not like it used to be, but it's not completely blind either. I still like the old days better.
Of course.
But Barnes did get booed when he came out of that game the other night.
So it's a much softer environment, but at least still a little bit. Every now from time to time, you'll hear a little, the teeth come out a little bit. We've got Alan in Florida on the Sox. Hi, Alan.
Hi, gentlemen. I was just wanted to give you a quick synopsis. I you know, Mash, your great Houston team, a 3-1 favorite last night. Verlander, who hasn't won a game at home, I think, since May, they got beat. And fabulous New York Yankees blew a 2-run lead in the ninth to Detroit, whom arguably is next to maybe Baltimore, Miami is the worst team in baseball. They just got swept by Kansas City.
So, Alan, what's your point?
Well, my point is the fake Red Sox down 4-0 against a very hot White Sox team that just went into Yankee Stadium and beat them 2 out of 3. So, I mean, who's the fake and who isn't the fake? They're down 4-0. They come back and win. And your guy, Mookie, who utility Mookie, hit a home run. J.D., who, we want him standing. I mean, who's the fake here?
So, Alan.
I mean,
Alan,
I love you guys, but are you guys the fake or what?
No one has said that their heart or their clutch or their balls is fake. They've got a great clutch sort of fight to the end character to the team. So that's absolutely for real. Do they have the pitching? Do you believe they have the pitching?
Well, it's not so much whether they have it or not. It's compared to everybody else. I mean, Mavs
compared to everybody else, do you think they have the pitching?
Yeah, Morton was just put on the DL. Verlander can't win a game at home. They have no relief pitching. Yeah, the Yankees, they're better pitching than the Yankees. I think this team is going to go all the way. Sorry, I do.
No, you don't have to apologize for that, Alan. And listen, I when they beat the Yankees here four in a row, I said that, look, that's the kind of series win that I was looking for them to convince me that maybe they're a little different. I'll still believe it when I see it in October, but I don't believe in the bullpen. I'm sorry, and my mind's not going to change.
Look what the Yankee – they lost a two-run lead to the Tigers, the Detroit Tigers last night, Yankee Stadium. They got booed off the field.
Yeah, and I've never sat here and championed what the Yankee bullpen is. I think they have better arms than you do.
On paper, they do.
Than the Red Sox.
On paper, they do.
Yeah, so look, if you look at some of those Yankees guys, they have similar problems to what the Red Sox relievers have. Chapman walks too many people.
I mean, but like on paper, I'd take their bullpen, but it doesn't feel like they've executed or they've, you know, that their production or how they pitch is commensurate with that advantage on paper.
No, they seem pretty good to me when Girardi was running it. But nonetheless, you want to put some of it on Boone, we can, regardless. Look, I don't think the Yankees are perfect. I mean, we've kicked the crap out of them here recently for falling asleep against bad teams. And even when the lead got down to 5.5, 6.5, and people were starting to tap their feet a little bit because they were getting nervous, I told you I'm not worried about the division, and I'm still not worried about the division. The Yankees don't have the discipline to chase you down and win the division. The division's over. Forget the division. The Red Sox won that one outright. But in the playoffs, if the Yankees are focused and the manager gets his head screwed on, and those are big ifs, they have the talent to beat you.
Let me grab one more Red Sox call, then I have a Red Sox question for you. Tom in the car. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. Gun to your head. What's more important for which team winning a championship? The Red Sox acquiring an arm out of the bullpen or the Patriots getting someone that Brady can actually rely on that's not named Gronk?
Okay, good question. I don't think either can win without it.
So I'd say Patriots bullpen. See, I think Red Sox bullpen. Red Sox bullpen's more important because I think the Patriots could get lucky and everyone could stay healthy.
You're right. It currently constituted 100% health, they might have just enough.
So whereas the Red Sox bullpen, I look at it and I say they don't have the horses. They need another guy in there. And so one of the things I'm a little worried about in that bullpen, like you brought up the name Addison Reed yesterday. I'd take a shot on Reed. I mean, you're talking, at this stage of the year, $1.5 million? Someone emailed this in, and I just wonder, are we sure that they're over that threshold?
Yeah, that's a good question.
The reports are that the Red Sox have gone over the $237 million threshold. But you never really know until the numbers come in at the end of the year. So I wonder. Maybe there is some reluctance on their part to do another deal because it'll put them over the $237. Now, do I think they're over it? I think they're... right on the line. I mean, I think they are right on it. They are pretty damn close.
Well, if they're just over and then they don't go further over, then that's a disgrace.
It is. It's really dumb, too, because once you go over, the penalty is in dropping 10 spots on the draft.
It's all the same.
Correct.
Right? So once you're there, you're there. Might as well, if you're going to be a Bear, be a Grizzly, and then take advantage of it. If they're just below it, then at least there's some rationale, but you still don't feel good about it because if there's a championship on the line, they shouldn't be quibbling over money. Or draft position even. Seriously, if a championship's on the line, the 10 spots in the draft shouldn't mean much to you. But at least you'd say there's a strategy. If they're just over and they're not doing it, then there's none. Here's my question for you on the Red Sox.
Sure.
Was that David Ortiz story that came out this week a big deal or not? Okay, and again, the story, folks, you haven't heard it, you probably have. An ex-security guy is writing a book on the Red Sox and Major League Baseball. When David Ortiz was playing, he had a guy in his entourage that was betting on baseball, betting against the Red Sox. Okay, betting on baseball and against the Red Sox on a regular basis. And this security official got wind of it. Major League Baseball got wind of it. They approached Ortiz, confronted Ortiz on it. He said the guy's not doing it. He completely denied it. And then the guy stopped betting, according to this security guy. So someone in David Ortiz's entourage allegedly was betting on baseball against the Red Sox while he was closely aligned with David Ortiz. They kicked the guy out of the clubhouse. They went to Ortiz, confronted him. He told the guy to cut it out, and then apparently he cut it out. Is this a big story?
I say yes.
Me too.
I mean, I say yes anytime you're talking about players involved in some sort of gambling in a sport. Absolutely, because it introduces the idea that someone's throwing games. Now, I don't know if Ortiz was. I have a hard time believing that he went up and tanked at bats.
Oh, no. I'm not saying.
But.
Yeah.
Was he giving information to a guy like, oh, this guy's got nothing, he's hurt, we're going to get killed tonight, and then the guy's going to put money on the game? Sure. Yeah, absolutely should look into that.
To me, gambling's a big one, and I'm you know, go look into it, you know, to what end? Ortiz is out of the game. It's sort of yesterday's news. But, like, I'm sort of, like, gambling to me is the big one. Like, I think that's the worst one. That's the most dangerous off-field activity. And I don't brush it off, even though we're not going to talk about it a lot, mostly because it's like 12 years in the past. This was in 2005 or something like that, right? This is a long time ago. But, I mean, I think it's right that Pete Rose is out of the Hall of Fame. I don't think Pete Rose should ever, ever be in the Hall of Fame, because I think that gambling is worse than steroids. Gambling's worse. It's the worst. There's a reason there's a death sentence for gambling. Because
it's losing on purpose.
No, if we as fans start showing up to these games and we lose faith in the fact that what's on the field is on the level, then these sports are done and it's wrestling.
Right. And there's also...
Or the NBA. And, I mean, you know how you feel about the NBA half the time. Sure. Like, this thing's fixed. And it, like, ruins it. Click. Well, that's... You know, the refs are, you know, trying to force a game six. Click. And you know how, like, how that dulls the sport for me. So... I think gambling's a big one. And if Ortiz had to have known his guy was gambling, because the security people knew, how does Ortiz not know? He was in his inner circle. And then as soon as they confronted Ortiz about it, next thing you know, the guy stops gambling. So I don't know how Ortiz didn't know. And I'm not telling Ortiz, you know, tank games. But that's a dangerous connection. That's a dangerous thing. I don't know how Ortiz didn't know. And I'm not telling Ortiz, you know, tank games. But... that's a dangerous connection. That's a dangerous thing. Gambling it is treated as the worst, and it should be treated as the worst.
Yeah, when I say look into it, I mean, if you were to find out that a friend of a player is gambling on games and he's gambling against his friend's team to lose, and then, yeah, you look into that, which is what Eddie Dominguez is the security guy you're talking about, whom I actually met years ago. And, you know, I haven't seen him in years.
I think this guy hit on my former nanny, if this is the same guy.
I can show you a picture.
That's apropos of nothing. Of my nanny or Eddie?
No, you're of Eddie. Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing a picture of your nanny, too, though.
No, it's just, yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good.
I mean, if she's anything like Affleck's nanny.
I think
just,
so.
Just throwing that
I
out.
Think, I got in all sorts of trouble spring training once where she came as a job shadow one day, and she was chilling out in the golf cart there in Fort Myers with Fast Eddie, who I think was Ortiz's guy. The next thing you know, they're changing digits, and like... the PR assistant rips around the corner like, Felger, what are you doing with this person here? What are you doing?
Well, I bet you some of the media people were pissed, because I know a lot of them that sit in that golf cart right next to the players.
So I don't know if that's the same guy or not. But either way, like, that stuff's harmless. The gambling stuff, that's serious business.
Of course it is, because, again, there's a difference between the guy who cheats with steroids, because he's trying to win. The guy who cheats and throws the game, that's a different story.
And at least steroids, when you go to the field or you go to the rink or the court, you know, you think that what you're watching is on the level, that this team is trying to beat that team. And
right, they're trying to win.
Your team's trying to win. And that is, you don't realize it because you don't think in these terms, but that is the backbone of everything we do. Everything we do, that's the backbone of it, that this is a upfront, on-the-level competition between my team and your team, and let's see who wins. That's it. That's the basis of everything we do. And if that is frayed, if you don't have that, you go to the game and you think that it's a predetermined thing. Well, now you're watching a play. Now you're watching wrestling or the NBA. And it's like, what's the point of this? So I think gambling should be looked at hard. So it is a big story. It's just 14 years ago. And so what are we going to do? That's why I just, you know, we haven't spent much time on it, but it's a Friday, so we touch on it. There's our thoughts on that. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It really is a difference maker.
Ooh.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Deep drive right center field. Backing up Bengal. Looking up now. She is out of here. J.D. Martinez with the exclamation. His 39th home run, and the Red Sox explode here in the ninth inning.
So another impressive win for the Red Sox that still doesn't tell me anything. They are resilient and tough and clutch and ballsy. That is for sure. And that'll help them in the postseason, and it'll take them someplace. But I don't know how you can go all the way with the pitching being what it is. And Porcello continued his bad run. Now, the bullpen did the job last night, right? I mean,
yeah, He did.
So you get down 4-0. That other starter looked great for a while.
Giolito. They got him from, he was originally in Nashville. He was a highly regarded prospect at one time.
Excellent. Like, I love the changeup stuff that he had. Like,
oh, he had a good one last night. No two ways about it.
He was shoving. So you're down 4-0 and like, but you stick with it. You come back because you're that kind of team. So, I mean, like, but I knew that about you. I think you established yourself as that kind of team all season long. You can hit and you'll fight to the end and all of that. So you've got that going for you. It's a great thing. The previous teams did not. So God bless. It's just the pitching. It's just, and now the starting pitching is, you know, right next to the relief pitching in terms of being a concern, I think.
Yeah, look, because, you know, Porcello to me is a little dicey in the postseason anyway, because I just don't think he has great stuff. I like Porcello. He competes. Like, there's a lot to like there. He's a good middle-of-the-rotation guy. But you put him in October against good competition, I just feel like he's going to get absolutely hammered. And so, I mean, if he starts to skip out on him, they can afford that. But without Price or without Sale, like, if you start to lean on him, no good. Which we know. That's the whole reason they went out and got Price and got Sale. Right? Because Rick Porcello was their first solution there. I mean, they went down, they went a progression there. Really, it was Porcello, then Price, then Sale. So, and again, I mean, to me, if you could take his mentality and his heart and put it in Price, you might have something. But, you know, he's been sliding here now for a while. It's a solid month.
One open line on an agenda-free Friday, 617-779-0985. We've done some hockey today as well. Maz says he wants Tyler Seguin back, or he would take a look at it anyway. And that's led to some hockey conversation, along with, obviously, his Patriots and Red Sox. Here's Jeff in Brookfield on the Sox. Go ahead, Jeff. Hello,
yeah,
Jeffrey.
Hello.
Hello.
The pitching is going to be the final story. And it's not going to happen. That's going to be the doom. And there's no one to trust in that bullpen. And you got Matt Barnes in there, who I trust as much as Flint water drinking. And it's just not going to happen. And it's just going to, they're going to die in the end. Sale can't pitch every game. Porcello's going to go down. Maz is right. I agree with Maz. It's just not going to happen with the pitching they got, the bullpen. And there's no one that called up from AAA. This falls on Dombrowski.
Okay. It absolutely does fall on Dombrowski. Let's see. They've got another couple. Well, is today the last day for this waiver?
Today's the last day, yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know if they moved this deadline, too, now that I think of it. I don't think they did, though. McCone, check that out. McBone. Like, I wonder, you know, the trading deadline got moved to 4 p.m., but I believe the deadline for playoff eligibility remains midnight tonight. Like, so, you know, you got to get someone in your organization by midnight tonight to be eligible for the postseason.
There are a few guys who are available out there. Again, you mentioned Addison Reed, same guy they got last year.
So a guy like that I would take a shot on just because he throws strikes. And I think Ryan Madsen moved in the last day or so, and I'm not a huge Ryan Madsen guy. He was with the Nationals.
It is. It's midnight.
It's midnight still. Yep. Yeah. You know, it just occurred to me now, like, boy, they didn't change that one to 4 o'clock, too. So, and I'm not surprised that they didn't. But, you know, I don't rule out a deal. I'd take a shot on a guy like Addison Reed. At the very least, he can throw strikes. I'd take a chance.
Joe and Everett wants to talk Bruins. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, hi, guys. I'm sorry you're talking about the other sports. Michael, the Bruins will never go deep with Rask as a goalie.
Do you think they realize that, Joe? How do you think they feel about him, the Bruins?
I don't know. I don't think they feel well about it. You've got to, I know you're a hockey guy. And you remember in the days of Pete Peterson and even D&D Moe, you know, they made it to the semis because of the goalie. They had nothing. They just had that Patterson Crucial Niskey line. And they made it to the semis in the East. And that's when the Islanders were there. And they knocked them off because the Islanders were a great team. But they never let in any bad goals. You know?
Well, Joe, you're going back too far. They won a cup in 11 because of their goaltending. You don't have to go back to Pete Peters, Tim Thomas, and Tuukka Rask. I think I've been waiting for it, and I've just given up hope that he's someone that can get that hot for that long to take you to a cup. Now, can he win you a cup if your team's awesome? Like, if you plugged him on that Washington Capitals team or on a really good team, is he good enough to win a cup? Yes, probably, I think. But, like, carry you where you've got to steal games and steal rounds? I don't think he turned out to be that guy, and I think it's too late for him to become that guy. I just don't think he's going to do it. And I don't think you're that kind of team, right? I don't think you're going to be the best team in hockey. So you're going to need goaltending. So I would agree with you. And how does the team feel about him? Well, what does it tell you that they went and got Yaroslav Halak?
See, I was just going to say that. And I mean, even
doesn't that tell you something?
Yeah, and even let's say they solely regard Halak as a backup. Okay, well, this is now the second time in a row under this administration that they've gone out and got a backup who can play 30 games. So they know that he can't handle the workload.
Well, it coincides really with Cassidy. I mean, well, no, they signed it open 2 years ago. Sorry. So Claude was still here. But either way.
I mean, like, I just think they look at Rask and say he can't handle it. He can't handle the work. They've made that determination. Like, that one's final. That's not going to change. He's not all of a sudden going to become a guy they can play 65, 70 games. Not going to happen. So they know that they have to protect him because he can't handle the workload.
I think what's different is that now you have a coach who's, I don't think, afraid to pull the trigger and upset Tuca and sit him down and all of that. And we'll see how that plays out. You know, and Halak is someone who I think could start. I wouldn't want him to be my starter for the next 5 years or even for the next three. But could he carry you for a season, for one playoff year, 1 year like that? I think he could. I do. So as you talk about trades and, you know, altering that Bruins roster, I still want Tuukka Rask and the goaltending on the table. We continue. A couple hours to go here. Felger and Maz working up until 6 o'clock on a getaway day Friday.
Unlike other people in this building.
The rest of this building. And something happened in this building that I have never seen in, 15 years.
You're not kidding.
Doing radio, maybe longer than that. A lot of times offices just let you out midday on Friday. Like, I'm sure a lot of you are off out there, which is common. Fine. This building...
Oh, no, they turn out the lights.
They turned off the lights. Not only did they give everyone the afternoon off and everyone scrammed, which is kind of common, they turned off the bleeping lights.
No, the cleaning crew was in here an hour ago.
This I've never seen. Well, yeah, I mean, we should get a shot of this. When you look out into that, the whole business wing of this floor, they turned off the lights.
Literally, yeah, the lights are out.
It feels like we're doing an overnight shift here at like 11 p.m.
Pretty much.
Like an overnight shift here.
Yep. In fact, frankly, I feel like a jackass for being here. I do. I feel like, you know what? They've completely thumbed their nose at me. This company just gave me the finger.
The thing is, I mean, we've all come into on days like this and have the parking lot empty. Like, that sort of happens. Like, there's little tells when you're working and everyone else is not. I've never seen them anyplace shut her down. Like, they shut it down, McBone.
I'll tell you what, I am going to be pissed if when I go to leave here today, like, there's a gate out there and it's locked.
It's like that kind of thing.
It does. Like, they totally locked us in the building. Like, who are these jackasses working? Let's leave them there.
All right, we got you covered for at least the next 2 hours. Three, if you're Maz, don't go anywhere. No commercials. Pats make a trade today. Here are the details, and then we're right back on an agenda free.